There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer-founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 264, episode 3 of the Daily Zeitgeist. Wow, one more day till Turkey Day. It's a production of iHeartRadio. This is the podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Wednesday, November 23rd. I mean, there's so much going on this week, but it is National Espresso Day, National Eat a Cranberry Day, National Cashew Day, National Jukebox Day, and National Tie One On Day. I'm Miles Gray, a.k.a. Miles of Gravy. I forget. I think it was Paul Garaventa on Twitter who gave me that a.k.a. Because, yeah, it's true. We got to have the Thanksgiving food-themed names. And I am thrilled to be joined by my guest co-host. Again, I don't know how long of an intro I'm going to do here. But her takes are sound. Her movie suggestions, unflappable. Okay? Does she have one of the kindest spirits and voices you've ever experienced? Yeah, probably. Is she also a fantastic producer and writer and all these other things? Yes, I could name them all, but I'd rather just call her Joelle Monique.
Hi, Miles.
Welcome. Thank you, Joelle.
Such a delicious intro. So nice of you.
Good to see you. Are you excited for tomorrow?
Yeah, I've had Thanksgiving with the same college friends for the past 6 years. Spreadsheets and oven schedules. It's a very tenuous and amazing celebration because they're the friends that like to experiment and spend too much money on food. So you both go into their house. Yeah, so it's going to be good. I'm excited.
Oh, well, look, let's get into our guest. Our guest is a James Beard award-winning author, okay?
Damn.
This man knows food. He's written literal books on apples. I can't believe Jack is not here. It's called Apples. The Essential Oyster. Okay, Shadows on the Gulf. And also, his latest podcast, Obsessions Wild Chocolate, you know, on iHeart. Oh, check it out. Please help me welcome to the microphone, Mr. Rowan Jacobson! What's up, Rowan?
Hey. Happy Cranberry Day. I didn't even know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Go to your favorite bog and, you know... pull up a fresh one.
I actually do. I have a bog right up the road from me with cranberries in it. I'm going to have to go check them out and see if they're there.
Really?
What magical world do you live in, Rowan?
New England? Do you live in Massachusetts or something?
Well, Vermont, yeah. We have a few. Oh, okay. We don't have many in Massachusetts, but, you know, if you know where to look, they're here and there.
Yeah. And I've always been, I never knew how cranberries were grown until like an Ocean Spray commercial from the late 90s where a guy was in like the overalls, like in a pit. And I was like, what the fuck is going
on? Is this
on
cranberries?
Here?
Wild.
Have you ever seen those crazy photos of what it looks like when they get harvested, like from above? You know, they float water to like lift the cranberries up and, you know, they're bright red. So then from above, it's just like these huge chunks of color, like red and then the blue water. And it looks like a surreal painting or something.
I'm still don't know. How do you grow a cranberry? Exactly? Like, what's the point? What do you need the bog for?
They like it wet, I guess. So, you know, they're like these little short plants, you know, and they have like the little red berries, but they're only like a foot high. So, and they grow in like standing water.
Got it.
I don't know. I'm not a cranberry expert, I admit. But I think to harvest them, you go in and you just like beat the bushes to knock all the berries off into the water.
Uh-huh.
And then strain, like, it. Yeah, basically. You pull out the water. Easy. You corral them into like big circles of red that are floating on the water. And then you scoop them up.
Farming is such a wild thing because I always picture it like in movies. It's like, and then we gently like plucked this corn from the stalk and like shucked it with like gentle farmer hands, and there's like golden light everywhere. But then like if you've ever seen an olive tree harvest, they just throw nets everywhere and start smacking the trees. They're like, get out of there, olives. It's I feel efficient. Like I can have fun farm, more fun than the movies have made it seem anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of smacking involved with farming, it turns out.
Yeah, hell that yeah. I want to stomp grapes, you know?
Exactly.
I know if you stomped a few grapes in your day, Rowan. I'll have to ask you about that later.
It's fun, yeah. I highly recommend it.
Well, let's give people a quick preview of what we're going to be talking about today. Just checking in over there with some presidential candidate activity, specifically Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State, who's identified the biggest threat to the United States. I don't quite agree what that is. Then we're going to talk about, you know, because Twitter is just verifying whoever these days, this, like, I don't know if you saw this phrase, died suddenly, was trending on Twitter like over the last few days. It's a fucking dumb, it's a quote unquote documentary about the COVID vaccine, but it's so poorly made and like researched, I don't even know why it's up there. Oh, because there's no moderation on Twitter. So we'll talk about that and the just all kinds of interesting things that are discussed there. We'll talk about macho camps for sad rich guys, too. The Modern Day Night Project. I don't know if you saw this, but this is like a thing where guys can get screamed at by more buff dudes and then feel like men after.
Have they not heard of the Navy SEALs?
Well,
it's
they
right
have.
There.
Well, enlist. You have. Well, dude, my fucking guy, dude, Donkey, he used to be a SEAL. So he trains us. So it's all good. So we'll take a deep dive into like this whole entire industry. And it's just like a terrible grift for, you know, people with a very fragile sense of self. And talk a little bit about food since we have Rowan here and I have a lot of questions.
It's a real bleak picture of America and then food. So I appreciate
it.
It's
yeah. Or food, then bleak picture of America. Look, either one, we're getting all of our, we're eating today. But first, Rowan, got to ask you, our guest, what is something from your search history that is, reveals something about who you are or what you're currently searching, I guess.
You know, I actually look back. I was like, who am I? What can I tell from my search? And what quickly was revealed to me is that I have been checking the snow report a whole, I live in Vermont. So I've been checking the snow report a lot the past few days because there's a great cross country ski place like half an hour away from me. And
oh, wow.
Like winter just hit Vermont hard out of nowhere like a week ago. Like I got back from a trip and there was snow on the ground. I was like, I'm not ready. But then after like, a short batch of depression, I was like, but snow. So then I started checking the ski report and with this one ski place just opened. So that's my winter salvation.
How's Stowe looking?
They're open for sure. Like the downhill places like Stowe, they're going. Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. I'm saying the one ski place I know in Vermont. I used to play hockey in that area. So like I went there once and I was like, yeah, I know about Stowe. But wait, so did you grow up in New England?
Yeah, I did in Vermont.
Wow. Okay. So that's very like the way you just talk about it, it's like, yeah, the winter comes. I'm from the San Fernando Valley in LA where we have no seasons.
Know.
So whenever I hear like, or even you, Joel, or like Justin talk about Chicago and like winter, I'm like, wow. And your coats, they don't get hot, right? When you're walking around, you don't get hot in your jacket. You got to take it off in the middle of the street. Cool. So I'm always, I love hearing people be like, I'm checking for actual
snow. A jacket
can't get sweaty.
A 20 degrees can be like a curse and a blessing, you know, because it's 20 degrees is like the cold you can stand. You're like, it's definitely cold, but it's also cold. I want to die.
Right.
You know, but anything below that, suddenly you're like, it's okay if my body shuts down. I don't shouldn't have to be faced with this level of brisk air hitting my skin
20 degrees sounds like certain death for me. But what, Ron? What, where are you at? What's your temperature scale like as a Vermonter?
Yeah, 20 is kind of like that magic tip where, like, if you're out doing stuff in it, exercising,
right,
you're pretty warm. You're like, oh, it's not so bad. Once it gets down to the teens, like, even if you're, you know, working pretty hard, it's pretty freaking cold.
Right.
Brutal. If you haven't done a winter before, remember to pop out your piercings before you go into the cold. My roommates had to learn that the hard way.
They were what?
Also from California. Yes, the metal will freeze your skin.
Oh, right. Wow. Yeah. Dude, we're just so laid back in California, man. Like, what are you talking about?
There were like two hoodies is like a coat, right? Like, no.
Yo, I even know that. No, two hoodies is not a coat.
But I and don't lick a metal ladder. I did that once when I was a kid. Never again.
No.
Yeah. Look, that's California math for you. Rowan, what is something you think is overrated?
All right. So I'm going to get myself into trouble with this one.
All right. Go ahead.
I've started to think, I'm a professional food writer, right? I do a lot of tasting, like closely, like thinking about, oh, does this go with this and so on? I'm starting to think red wine is overrated. And that's.
Whoa.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Wow. Go on. Tell me why. I mean, like, admittedly, Rowan, I know about wine, but I'm not like, my palate isn't that discerning. Like, I know different varietals, but I'm not out here. Look, most of the time I'm like, is it Screwtop or Cork?
Yeah.
But tell me, walk me through so I can say something cool at Thanksgiving and be like, oh, y'all drink your red wine?
Yeah, I go for it. I think you should. Like red wine's kind of considered like the ultimate drink, right? It's really concentrated, intense flavor, a lot going on. And, you know, white wine is kind of considered like, you know, for lightweights a little bit.
Oh, like for, like, if you fuck with wine, like, you want the reds because they're right, like, there's right. So much to
white,
do. Okay, gotcha.
You know, white's fine, but then, you know, we want real flavor. You're going for red. And, like, the really, really, really expensive bottles are all red. Like, the super, sure. Like, you know, like, the $2,000 bottles are all red.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You never see someone like, and here's my $6,000 rosé.
Correct.
Something like
exactly.
That.
Exactly. Right, okay. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Like, rosé, $20. It's maxed out.
Right.
So, red wine's supposed to be super great. But, like, you know, like, I spend all this time, like, tasting stuff, like, drinking different things with different foods. And I just started to think, like, man, this red wine's kind of, like, overdone. It's like, somebody should have taken the skins out before it got so red. It feels like a flaw. And, like, you know, beer and white wine and other things, I think, go better with food. But that's a very controversial thing to say in the snooty foodie world.
Yeah, I'm sure, because everyone's like, you gotta, like, red meat? You gotta have red wine.
Exactly.
And I'm always like, all right. And I tried to do that where people are like, no, it really enhances the flavor. But I'm the kind of person who does not drink liquids when they eat. Like, I don't. I'm like a end of meal drinker.
Like nothing, like not even water.
Yeah, I don't
nothing.
Sip. I don't wash it down. I'm like, I'm focused on the meal. That's just how I've gotten down since the beginning of times. But so like when people have always been like, you got to try that with this. I'm always like, OK. And I'm like, and then after like, have this red wine, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I mean, it's not like, doesn't put a terrible taste in my mouth, but that's also not like necessarily the culinary experience I seek all the time.
Yeah.
I'm a rosé girl, and if they offered a $600 bottle of rosé, I would be the kind of person to buy it. I'd be like, what is happening? Is it sparkly? Did they put gold in it?
I wonder if that's why, like, everybody drinks natural wines and shit now. Like, I feel like that's become like a real popular thing now, less so than like, you know, drinking a full-bodied Chianti or something, is everyone's like, oh, skin contact, natural wines. That's what I always see.
Yeah, so for sure. That's happening. And it's starting to, like, undercut this whole, like, this myth that red wine, the only good red wines are these super concentrated ones.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you said that, Ron, because whenever I taste those, I'm like, bro, what the fuck? It's hard for me to be like, oh, my goodness, you're right. Were these like Spanish oak casks that were used? There's no way I could do that.
Keep the Spanish oak away. Like, just give me a beer.
Yeah. At that point, I'm like, thank you so much. But I don't know if I can pretend along with everyone like this. What is something you think is underrated, Rowan?
One thing I've been noticing, and tell me if you all are having this experience or not, because I'm like, I live in the country, so I'm not in like a city all the time. But I've noticed that, you know, after COVID, you weren't having a lot of like, just like, minor interactions with people, the stuff that you normally do every day, and then you had masks on. And now I've just been noticing how, like, if I'm just like in the city for a day or in town, no one's got masks, everyone's back to sort of like those normal, stupid, meaningless interactions, you know, just like you're chatting with the barista and the person cutting your hair and the person in the post office. And I've noticed, like, at the end of the day, I'm like in a really good mood because of those stupid little interactions that we didn't have for like 2 or 3 years, you know?
Sure.
So I'm starting to think that's underrated, that stuff that doesn't really mean anything, but it just sort of like is, you know.
Yeah. Human connection, you know?
Human connection, I think
That's like powerful, even in a like less, I guess, monumental way, you know? It's like nice to, even like when I go and like go to my coffee shop, like I chat everybody up.
Me too.
Like, hey, because like you see people there all the time, and now I just say, oh, hey, like not even to be like, hey, what's going on with you? Like, I don't necessarily put on the biggest conversation, but I am much more like, hey, all right, I'm acknowledging you. What's going on, fellow person out there?
Yeah, I'm shit at small talk. I really hate it, but I am do find myself being like, you good? You got what you need? Okay, like it's like on set or something. I was talking to the grip the other day. I'm like, how you doing? He's like, I'm always good. I'm like, that's great. And then we just sat in silence for 20 minutes while everybody else ate. Right. It was really nice. It was very peaceful and nice. And I appreciated that very small moment.
Is it that, like, Rowan, what is it about those pleasantries that you think, like, that are so fulfilling for you? Is it purely because you're kind of like, oh, that's right. Like, I've kind of in the heights of the pandemic when people were, you know, locked up and stuff like that, like we shifted gears and maybe dulled that need to like sort of interact with people. And now that's coming back. Or what do you feel is like the thing that's given it life for you?
Yeah, I think you hit it. I think it's just the little reminders of human connection that, you know, we are like, we're a super social species. Yeah. And we like just those little like minor, you know, shooting the shit in ways that don't matter. It just helps us remember that we're part of a group, and that we have like, you know, 19 out of 20 things in common, even though we often focus on the 20th thing, you know?
Right, right, right. Yeah, for sure. Man, I would say, that, you know, there's so many studies that come out that always reinforce this of like, just like saying hello to a friend that you haven't talked to ends up like boosting like everyone involved's like well-being after a call like that. I just randomly like hit up my friend yesterday because I was going to text him. I was like, you know, I'm a call. Just a challenge to somebody. Just call somebody you meant to text and you'll be surprised. I thought I was just going to check in for like 10 minutes. We talked for an hour.
Yeah.
So, that's so sweet.
It's always nice to, you know, have those moments because you forget. It's really easy to forget because we connect to each other in so many like nonverbal ways with technology and shit. You got to remember the good old days, like when we were in middle school talking on a landline.
Oh, yeah.
The good old days.
Annoying the shit out of our parents. What a time.
When they're like, you need to get off this phone. Okay, mom. Hey,
just 5 more minutes. Didn't you just see them at school? You will see them tomorrow. Yes, I know.
Okay, so both of y'all paying the phone bill? Well, but we got Vonage. I thought because it's Vonage, we don't pay because it's hooked up to the internet. Oh, now you get
totally
smart.
Fine. I'll tell Auntie you can call her back later. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you know, that's another thing that's underrated is landlines. I think landlines are underrated, you know, now that most of us don't have them anymore.
I mean, that's like a new genre of content on TikTok, which is like young Gen Z kids being like, what in the fuck is this thing?
Watching them try to dial is so adorable. They're like, what? Don't show them a rotary phone.
Did you see that video of like the two black girls like at their house and the mom was just taping them? She's like, I can't believe they are getting the biggest kick. They're like, mama, what's this sound? She's like, the dial tone?
She was like, wait, does it actually call? She's like, call me on my cell phone. She's like, what is happening? Oh, they were so
when it was
cute.
Ringing, her face lit up. She's like, the ancient thing made my phone buzz. How? Yeah. Do you have a landline, Rowan?
Not anymore. We got rid of it. But here's like, so this, I'm going to seem like a dinosaur to you guys if I admit this. But when I was a kid, this was in Vermont. Vermont was a little behind. We had not just a landline, but a party line. Do you know what a party line is?
No.
So,
like where you could call and like a bunch of people, like anyone could talk on it?
Basically, anyone on our road, it was all one line, right? So, when there was a phone call, it would ring for everybody and whoever would pick up. And then you'd all have to figure out who was actually calling. And then everyone else was supposed to hang up, but you couldn't always tell. Like, they could fake it.
Oh, my God.
Know?
Wow.
That sounds better than Twitter. Imagine the gossip.
Yeah.
Like open DMs, party DMs.
Right. Exactly. It's basically like it was the party DM back of its day.
Oh, hell no.
When I think back of it, I'm like, I cannot believe that existed, you know?
Right. I mean, yeah, could you? Yeah, I feel like in our day and age, like if people had the ability, like just people would just be like, no one would be hanging up, and then like weaponizing that information against like
absolutely.
The person.
Yeah, and some of that happened back then too, to be honest.
You know, yeah, like, I'm sure, right?
It was always there's tempting to not hang up. You know,
wait. So if someone and now, okay, so if someone called, let's presume it was the phone call was for your house, but it only right. rang like twice, and maybe you forgot. And like you didn't, and you weren't there to pick it up. And everyone's like, I don't know who you're calling for. They're like, well, that's not me. But yeah. you're not there. We just be like, call back. And then exactly. we'll all yeah. know to not pick up. Okay. So,
yeah, totally. So yeah, everyone, you just had to work it out. And the reality was that people just didn't make that many phone calls back then.
Right. Right.
Mm.
I'm just still, I know, Joel, you're thinking the same thing I am, but like, how yeah. fucking messy would things get?
It would be way too messy. Well, actually, I had two thoughts. So, like, if that existed today, I don't know my neighbors that well. You know what I mean? I'd be like, right. who? They'd be like, you know, the address right next to yours. I'd be like,
I literally
never met him. Like, sorry, call again. And then my other thought was like, yeah, it would be messy, but imagine, I was thinking about like my high school self, you know, it was like a small clique of like girl crew. That would have been amazing.
Oh, yeah.
We could all just pick, just somebody calls and just be like, crisis. We're all like, what? How can we help? We're all here immediately. Right.
Yeah, or just knowing, like, when I pick up the phone, my friends are always talking, most likely. Just pick
also
it up. Oh,
that.
Okay, I know y'all were there. Hey, what's going on? Okay, so this is going on.
I'm going to just listen just to be comforted by the voices. I don't have anything to say. Just, yeah, I'm here. Y'all go ahead.
Just a lonely lurker.
In. Magical.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back to talk about Mike Pompeo right after this.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com. Shop now on TomboyX.com.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid Kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
And we're back. And another day, another wildly messed up thing being uttered by someone in the Republican Party. Today's presenter of Terrible Ideas is former Secretary of State and big time fan of the end times, Mike Pompeo. He's been pretty coy about, you know, whether or not he's running, more in the sense that he isn't outright saying it, but it keeps being like, I don't know, but I have a pack set up and I'm doing a lot of press, which would indicate that I am ramping up for a presidential run. And, you know, we saw like many other people do this. Mike Pence had his like terrible, awful, awkward town hall last week on CNN where like Jake Tapper tried to have like a Ianla Van Zandt style intervention for him. It's like, you can still be mad at Donald Trump, Mike Pence. Yeah, I would be too. You don't like. What is, are you okay? And then we've seen Ron DeSantis, like, he's like winking at the camera, like Jim from The Office when he's asked about like whether or not he's going to run. He's like, I don't know, folks. I'm just waiting for Trump to implode and then I will come, you know, come to life. But we'll see what happens with that man. But the man who is Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, this is a guy who was looking at all the threats that the country faces from, you know, a geopolitical perspective. He has identified the greatest threat to our country in a recent interview. And I'm just going to let you know who that is. He said, I get asked, who's the most dangerous person in the world? Is it Chairman Kim? Or is it Chairman Kim? Well, let's switch those up. Is it Chairman Kim? Is it Xi Jinping? The most dangerous person in the world is Randy Weingarten. Now, Randy Weingarten, she is the head of the teachers union. He's identified her as the most dangerous person. He said, it's not a close call. If you ask who's the most likely to take this republic down, it would be the teachers unions and the filth that they're teaching our kids. And the fact that they don't know math and reading or writing. Oh, interesting, sir. He said, these are things that candidates should speak to in a way that says, here's the problem, here's a proposal for how to solve it, and if given the opportunity, these are the things I will go work on and try and deliver that outcome that fixes that problem. I think it is interesting in this instance to see like the Republicans realize that like actually connecting outcomes to policy ideas is a thing that people seeking office should do, although sadly these policies and ideas are a little off. Like the biggest thing that he's saying is that like, if they're teaching like stuff like the 1619 Project and that this country was founded on a racist idea, quote, if those are the things people are entered the seventh grade deeply embedded in their understanding of America, it's difficult to understand how Xi Jinping's claim that America is in decline won't prove true.
Oh, so many thoughts. That's a big
swing. And I think, again, they're trying to find a way, I think, for like Republicans running in the primary and for office. They're trying to find a thing that's like, well, overt racism didn't do well, or like misogyny and the denial of like body autonomy. What if we like kind of do an end around by like shaking the education tree and kind of using that as like the venue to begin to say like these like liberals are going to groom your kids in schools and also learn about stuff.
So first, it's super funny to hear people be like, yes, slavery was here, but was it racist?
Right.
Not an ideal we were found at. It's literally what the hell happened. It's just very bizarre. But then two, coming after teachers, it feels like the most witch hunty thing the Republicans have done in a hot minute. They'll poison your children. Be terrified. Like, they're teachers. They're just like, have you met one? They literally just want to help your kid be educated, get through their day. Most of them are spending huge chunks of their paycheck on stocking their class with like supplies and stuff. Like, you couldn't go after, like, one, I know it's better to go after people without means because then, you know, if you have your legal day in court, you can just outpace them in a court trial. But I also just think, like, for the most part, teachers have community on their side because, unlike, you know, local police, they're active members of their community. So this is a very foolish, like, angle to try to take. I know anti-elitism is, like, as far as, like, you know, higher education is very popular, but not the sixth grade teachers. I feel like they're going to miss their audience on this
one. Well, I think they've found a lot of success there. Like, you've seen these school board meetings. Like, a lot of people are finding that that is a place where they can try and, you know, act out this kind of change, quote unquote, that they're looking for. But yeah, it is. I think it is. It does seem like a very, I mean, again, you're talking about people who are dedicating their lives to educating your kids. And I think this is also going part and parcel with the general like theme of panic around the youth vote in the midterms also. And I think they're starting to be like, oh, these younger kids are like, what the heck are they learning that they're voting for body autonomy and access to healthcare.
Those damn kids. I love
them. It's a tough one.
I'm so proud of them. They're really out here doing it. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I don't think that they're going to be able to sustain this type of attack because even the school boards were mostly about like the library and books they have access to and not individual teachers. You might have like on a local level, like small gripes with a specific teacher. Maybe someone's too outspoken or whatever. We've certainly seen that happen around the country where like, oh, this teacher is out and people don't like that. Or,
right,
you know, they put up gay pride stuff in the lobby. Horrifying.
They suggested the students read Beloved by Toni Morrison. Like, huh?
Oh, it will scar your children, but it's a scarring they need. Okay. It's appropriate.
Like, what's kind of the tone in Vermont, Rowan, like as it like relates to like schooling and things like that? Because I know, I mean, like, I feel like every state is experiencing some form of like chaos around education.
Yeah, for sure. It's, you know, it's quieter here because the towns are so small.
Right.
You know, a typical town would be like 1,000 people. So you might only have like 80 kids in the school.
Mm-hmm.
So like everyone kind of knows each other. And
right.
That it seems like that often that kind of like takes the edge off. Like, you know, Twitter, you get people get into huge fights because they can't see each other. They don't know each other. And they're pretty sure they're never going to run into each other. Like uh-huh. In Vermont, you're pretty sure you're going to run into everybody eventually. Right. So it kind of keeps it a little more civil here.
Mm. Or you never know when you might pick up the party line and hear something.
Or they might be on the other end of the party line.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot keeping these things together. But yeah, it's just a lot of noise coming out, I think, as a party tries to figure out, like, just combing through the ashes of their midterm platform. Like, okay, so none of that was that great. They don't like election denialism and some of these other things.
Yeah, hitting on the teachers is not going to work much better for them, I feel like, somehow, you know?
Yeah, and it's really kind of alarming because even, like, in the light of the hate attack in Colorado over the weekend, you're still seeing conservatives, like, just continue to double down on this, like, rhetoric of, like, and there are these people who are trying to harm your kids, and that, you know, half the time that they're wanting to sort of guide that road into, and it's the teachers and not the countless people like clergy that we read about every week in some like new investigation. But maybe that it's only happening in schools.
I think they'll keep doubling down on it until it hurts them in the primaries. And I'm going to be curious in 2024 to see if.
Right. Yeah. Because that's when like people like Joe Biden started shifting when he's like, OK, so those people got it. OK, I'll take a little bit of that idea, but I won't have to do it later. But I will say I will collect the right opinions. Thank you so much. Yeah, we shall see. Speaking of just terrible ideas, you know, Twitter has been you're up, you're down looking at this thing. Mm-hmm. The last thing we heard is like Elon was saying the verified thing where I gotta figure this out. It's like, turns out too many people want to impersonate brands and give out free insulin or talk about military government overthrows by fruit companies. But I think there's this, the other thing about like around moderation is a huge issue that isn't really talked about as much, I think, as everyone is either just like dunking on Elon reply guys or just kind of doing their like, it's been a pleasure performing with you this night on the deck of the Titanic type tweets. But the phrase died suddenly has been trending on Twitter. And I was like, what the fuck is this? It's a documentary that's streaming on Twitter, first of all, and it purports to, quote, present the truth about the greatest ongoing mass genocide in human history.
Is it white genocide?
COVID vaccines.
Oh.
That's what it's mass genocide, okay? And it's called Died Suddenly, and you're like, oh, wow, like, what is going on? And this shouldn't surprise anyone. The film never actually proves that anyone died suddenly because of the vaccine. It just instead makes, like, the most outlandish, spurious, mendacious even connections between like the introduction of the vaccine and just other events that happened completely unrelated. Like there's no context. There's no scientific. There's like not one like a bit of scientific evidence. It's merely just like the vaccines came out and this guy fell down. What do you think about that? Like, so there were just like pictures of blood clots, like, and then they're just like, okay, so what is this? No one really saying that. They're just being like, yeah, blood clot, like just saying like buzzwords. And again, the whole quote unquote documentary features a lot of footage of people who the title says died suddenly, except for the fact that like these people that are in there, not only they say they didn't, it's not that they collapsed or as a result of getting the vaccine. These people didn't even fucking die. Like it's just this like really, really opportunistic grift. So, okay, there's a whole Twitter thread that's going through this documentary looking at the quote unquote deaths in this like in this trailer.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of them can be debunked because they were like newsy moments. Like there was a woman who stumbled like on a train platform because she hadn't eaten all day. But like in a vacuum, the footage is like this woman stumbled off a train platform. But admittedly, she was like, well, I my blood sugar was low. I just didn't eat. And that's what happened.
Were they saying that she stumbled off the platform because she got the vaccine?
That's the implication. Yes. Oh, then they even show like, because the whole thing's like died sudden. Then they showed like one of these like royal guards at Buckingham Palace who like fainted. Because that happens a lot too. You've like it's not a thing you haven't seen with like those like guards who just stand
in
still for hours on end.
Uniform with locked knees, you'd pass out. Too.
Yeah. Then they showed this basketball player from Florida, Keontae Johnson, who like he this was headlines. He collapsed in a game in December of 2020, and which was before he could have been vaccinated. Like unless he like pulled up with a fake ID, is like I'm high risk and a senior citizen. Can I get a vaccine? They're like, that's not what has happened. And he even said he just like had nothing. Like, I just passed out. And like, it was very scary for me. That's what happened. Nothing to do with the vaccine. So it's again, this has been so clearly like not a obviously just a bad faith, like, you know, shot at, I mean, the pun is intended, at like COVID misinformation, you know. And if you're asking yourself, is this Elon Musk's fault? Well, yes, of course. Like, first of all, the account is verified. So a lot of people like have just been watching it who are not very savvy. And I think it's just like the overall reception of it has been some people kind of retweeting it, but mostly people being like, what, how are you going to let this be on the platform right now? Like, this is so, this isn't even good. And again, these people are like grifting because they're just asking people for money at the end.
Oh, really? Money for what? Wait, but are they promising anything? Are they like, hey, help us further investigations? Help us.
I think just to, you know, just to get more, just to get the facts out, you know, it's the same thing all these grifters do. It's like you present this like just gigantic, unfathomable battle that has to be done. And you're like, and I know how to fight it and just give me some money to do it. So you don't
I'll take care of it for you. Yeah. Money will solve all your problems.
Yeah.
Wow. This is feels to me as like a very long time adamant Twitter user, like the first step in a pivot toward 4chan,
right,
which I think is the direction that's going. I mean, a lot of Elon's fanboys live there on Reddit. I think they're gonna, some of them will migrate to Twitter.
Right.
We're already seeing a giant exodus of people from the platform. And I think everyone who stayed has sort of, that will eventually leave, stayed as an opportunity to be like, A, they want to see like the burning, like what happens in the final days of Twitter. But two, you know, there's still a lot of questions like, where do we go? I think I found the solution.
Everybody's been saying Hive.
It's Hive. It's where it's at, man. It's a perfect combination of Instagram and Twitter and then like a dash of MySpace. If they add a top 8, it's really over for everybody. It's so much fun and it's very like chill. I'm almost hesitant to like spread the word because this feels like the right amount of
people. A lot of people on Twitter I've been seeing everybody being like, hey man, I think the party's over on Hive. And then other people are like,
it's fun as hell.
Well, I think this is also where we're at too, is like, this truly is like when a house party gets broken up by the cops. And you're like, yo, where are we going next?
Where are we going next? What's happening now?
And you're trying to figure out, and like, there's three different options. And you're like, well, the other person just said Mastodon. I thought it was Post-Social. They're like, no, it's Hive.
Mastodon's definitely like, not it. It's too complicated. I can't figure it out.
Right. But just to go get back to this documentary, I just want to say the guy behind this movie is Stu Peter. And this doctor, oh wait, no, he's not a doctor. Make that former bounty hunter turned podcaster who was kicked off of Spotify for claiming that COVID vaccines were a military bioweapon full of metallic parasites. Sorry. Just wanted to get that last tidbit in there. Rowan, you seen any good documentaries recently?
I know, but I'm going to watch this one now for sure.
I don't know if this one's
just
even out,
for
but
the laugh factor.
The trailer, I mean, it is wild to see, like, do you see this kind of stuff in like in the food world or just like in your line of work where it sometimes someone just like thinks they know like how your field works and they're like, I'm going to make this wild claim and maybe it'll get some attention and I'll pray that no one is actually like knows what they're talking about or knows what I'm trying to talk about and then be found out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it happens everywhere. In the food world, for sure. Like, almost every diet-based claim turns out to be, like, not so good.
Right. It's like, I'm on the cashew and tiger's milk diet, and you're going to love it. Shout out tiger's milk, those protein bars. I really like those. Anyway, so don't check out that no one suddenly died. If anything, you're better off watching Suddenly Susan. Okay, let's take a quick break. And we'll be right back to talk more right after this.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
And we're back. Last week, there was this like a few write-ups I saw about something called the Modern Day Knight, K-N-I-G-H-T, project. And I was like, what is going on? We asked JM, our writer, to do a little digging on this phenomenon. And it turns out it's a real thing. And if you loved summer camp, but you A, wished it had more guns and endurance tests, and B, you're currently a sad adult man, we've got great news. You can sign up for this project or this weird camp. And while you'd think a modern day knight would presumably just spend their time chilling out with Michael Caine and Andrew Lloyd Webber in a castle somewhere, these guys are basically just in a boot camp, like a $12,000 boot camp. And the website, if you go to the website, what they're saying, it's designed for men who are, quote, living an unfulfilled life of passivity and frustration, or what they call, but clearly are like unable to trademark, quote, the walking dead. He said, in simple terms, most men surrender to circumstances and accept mediocrity. So they're trying to get you in your like masculine grind mindset. And the introduction also includes passages about what it means to be a man, like in bold letters says, what does it mean to be a man? And apparently it means being one type of primate rather than a different kind. they said, they don't need to look any further than nature because nature never lies. The picture of the left depicts a chimpanzee and a bonobo ape on the right. And the chimpanzee is like showing its fangs and like snarling and teeth gnashing. The bonobo is like, just like, hey, I'm just chilling. And it says, when you understand the difference between these two creatures, you'll know why some men can walk into a room and instantly command presence and respect. The way of the chimp is based on strength, courage, honor, and brotherhood. The way of the bonobo is based on weakness, pleasure, full-time relaxation, and fun. I'm sorry.
Don't relax or have fun, y'all.
Yeah,
or
who
you'll
wants
not
that?
Be a man.
Bonobos have a ton of sex, too.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, what are you... How are you?
Oh, they're tapping into a very specific type of man that the internet.
A type
has
of man
created.
Who doesn't want a lot of sex, apparently.
Well, I think
which makes sense.
I mean, maybe yes, but also the guys who feel that they are like, what's the term they use? Involuntarily celibate.
Oh, incel. Yeah.
And I think, and especially because some of those guys seem very hard up to be like, to have their manhood defined and outlined for them in a way that is then not questionable, and doing something like this where like, no, I was with guides in wilderness. So you never tell me I wasn't masculine or that I didn't have the answers. I took leadership courses. Also got like a lot of, I used to work for, all the names are escaping me today, guys. I'm so sorry. They're like life coaches. But their brand is not based on anything other than tearing you down in subtle ways.
Oh, like the toxic writing guru? Of.
Yeah. Well, like the writing will be like this. Doesn't it suck that no one loves you? And don't you wish your body was a little bit better so you can be more confident when you talk to people?
Oh, right.
But you don't have those skills, but I definitely do.
Right.
So, you know, make sure, like, they just constantly are, like, reminding people of any possible insecurity so that by the time you're finished reading their letter, you feel like you need help.
Right,
and that's
right,
definitely,
right.
Like, reading on the website. Okay. If you've made it this far down this page, then I can already tell that you're not like most men who know they're meant for more but allow fear and poor discipline to stifle their personal development, income, and impact. That's key phrasing to just like trigger a person with low self-esteem into purchasing whatever the package is. And it's really horrifying that copy can do that. It's very successful.
Yeah, the power of copy and also the power of the chimp. Too. Let's not forget, courage and honor are foundational to the chimpanzee, not randomly biting off the face of your like human owner. Like that's when I see chimpanzees in the fucking news. It doesn't sound very honorable or brotherhood, but again, they're wild animals and that's why you shouldn't keep them as pets.
The pictures are so upsetting. Like it's a bunch of men in the water in white t-shirts. They're kind of dirty. They all look very tired and hungry.
Yeah.
It's like a cross between a baptism and like a trial by fire. Yeah.
Exactly. Baptism by fire. You got it right there, Joelle. The founder of this is some guy named Bedros Kulian. And he's got a YouTube channel and he's got a book called Man Up. And, you know, his YouTube channel, he's got stuff like this guy's tatted. He's like just ripped, like bearded Gen Xer dude. And it's like the card says cancel culture. Okay. Yeah. I'm sure there's some really interesting takes on there. And, he like, you know, this whole thing conclusively proves why toxic masculinity isn't a thing using graphics borrowed from a mid-90s karaoke video, because there are these like videos that like in Impact font. Look, I loved Impact font, too, when I first discovered fonts as a child. But the style guide is terrible here. And there's these videos, this stuff is no such thing as toxic masculinity, like played over very just, you know, mundane B-roll type of stuff. But again, according to this guy, his goal is to present men with a crossroads. And it's either stay a bitch or become a beast, in his words. Which is also, incidentally, the same crossroads presented to the prince in Beauty and the Beast. But one of the project's head instructors, Steve Eckert, he's like saying, you're not allowed to be a man anymore. You're almost a racist if you're a man these days. It's crazy.
Oh, you're confused. You haven't been understanding the message, sweetie. Oh, no.
That's such a weird thing to say. Like, you couldn't write better comedy than that, where someone's like, you're almost a racist if you're a man these days. What are you describing
wrapped up in their whiteness based off of all of the, if you go to the video section, they have testimonials.
Yeah.
And it's looking very white in there. I'm not seeing anybody else.
Joelle, again, you know, I don't want to be regressive here, but this isn't for you, okay?
Clearly.
It's for bros with $12,000 to pay, not including flights or accommodation, so they can get
not
screamed
at. Not accommodations
at
$12,000?
No. That's just to be yelled at and play with guns and get told you're a pussy by some fucking ripped guy. And then I think you come out the other side better.
Pay a dominatrix. It's money better spent, and they're probably not going to cost you $12,000.
Yes,
right,
exactly.
Much.
For $12,000, you could build a pretty good dungeon.
100%.
explicitly, like, this whole thing, like, there's a lot of militarized stuff.
Sure.
Because, you know, what deep-rooted psychological problem hasn't been solved by a handgun? I think it's a very, very good combination that they have going there. And, like, the beginning of this quote-unquote project starts with people being thrown into a car with bags over their heads. Like the recruiting scene in Old School for getting their fraternity together, just snatching people off the street. And then they have to do a lot of physical challenges. And there was, like, apparently someone, this isn't confirmed, but like someone in like a Reddit post was talking about like a guy who did it and said that they were buried alive in body bags for a little bit too, all on their way to
on par with what's been happening. Cause like, okay, so now it's so interesting. Okay. So it's like not just that like motivational speaker kind of life, but it's also a little bit of like Christian church camp. If you've ever had to go through that, it's also a little bit, I forget what they're called, but like basically it's traumatized like an entire generation of teenagers whose parents would like pay to have them kidnapped and
called like those straight. Like troubled teen camps. And
Which turned out to be like weird worker camps where kids were being like sexually assaulted, but also worked to the point of exhaustion, sometimes death, where girls were forced to like take their pregnancy to term and forced into like long-term isolation spaces, like horrible spaces. But again, I think it feeds into this idea for a certain kind of guy who thinks like the only way to prove that I am a man is by going through the most amount of hardship as possible. And because I wasn't fortunate enough, quotes, to go through any misfortune previously, I have to manufacture it later in life to prove a point. It's very weird.
Well, it's to wake up my weakness inside of me. Joelle, that's why I'm going. And that's why Jack is there today.
I didn't want to
reveal that on the show. That's why Jack's out. He's kind of
someone like, extract Jack immediately. He is not built for this.
Ever since someone said he didn't know how to pose with his hands in a photograph, he's really been grappling with that. And he's like, well, what if I had guns in my hands and wood? So, you know, thoughts and prayers to him. But he'll come back with a great assessment of that. So, yeah. Just to everybody out there, you don't need to pay $12,000 to find out you got a lot of, just therapy is cheaper. I'm gonna be honest. $12,000 worth of therapy, shit.
Ooh, you're gonna be good after that.
Tell you who will be able to look somebody in the eye during a conversation, and it won't be because someone hits you with a 2x4 on your back while you're doing pushups.
Oh my God, buried alive. Rowan, is there any part of this experience that appeals to you in any way, shape, or form?
Yeah, this sounds very Vermont man to me.
Well, I'm hoping there's other options besides bitch or beast. Like, is there like a middle option?
Yeah.
But I'm also thinking about this. Like, I just saw this video on Twitter, of course, of these dudes jousting each other on like, you know, they had like real lances, but on bicycles. And, you know, the lances had like a, you know, almost like a boxing glove thing on the end so they wouldn't actually like kill each other.
Okay.
But like charging at each other on bicycle and jousting. And I'm wondering if this is part of being a modern knight or if this is totally separate.
It sounds like it would go right into the curriculum. No problem.
Yeah. If anything, those guys jousting, at least I feel like that's like hardcore LARPing. You know, like at least you're like, you're doing the fucking thing.
But then you'd have like a Nerf sword. It'd be very bendy. Nobody's getting hurt at a proper LARPing session.
My dad, like in the 90s in New York, his friend used to do these like weird like fight club things in New York where people would make their own armor with like parking cones and shit. And they just fucking get down in parks like Washington Square Park and shit.
What?
Yeah. And like,
being
I think it was more
so
like a
foreign to me. I don't understand this at all.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's just this like weird, bizarre trying to capture what they believe is quote unquote like masculinity. And I think for a lot of like men, they like maybe like hold their grandfathers in high regard too. And are like, yeah, that guy who was in a war who didn't cry, but also like gave my dad a lot of weird issues because the way he raised him, that's
had an
a
entire
fucking
family
man.
Across state lines and never communicated with his children. Great example. Super
that dude
good
was
job,
a beast. Yeah,
yeah,
he was
beast. Out in the field working every day. He was exhausted. He broke his body and there was no one able to fix it. Like, you don't want to be that guy. You're so
I do.
Lucky.
I don't want to be no pussy. I want to be a beast.
Pussy
who's
is
in
great.
His,
you
who's
would
big
only
empty
wish.
House with his creepy candelabra and teapot that talk to me. Or that's Beauty and the Beast. I forget. Anyway, Rowan, I got to ask you. I want to talk a little bit about food because that is your like area of expertise and your new podcast about chocolate, because, you know, right now we have Thanksgiving upon us. I have many questions. Like, first off, is there a perfect Thanksgiving food? Before we get into the podcast, I just want to kick that off from there. Is there a perfect Thanksgiving food in your opinion?
You know, I'm gonna throw a sort of one at you from left field.
Whoa.
I actually think the thing that should start off every Thanksgiving meal is oysters.
Oh,
go on.
I love
oysters.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Some people.
I have two shuckers.
Oysters are a deal breaker for some people. But you're on.
I don't know.
Yeah. Do you like? I like the little slimy. I love the brine too. When it's briny, it's my favorite. Tastes like
exactly.
Sea.
Exactly. Yeah. Actually, a box of oysters just arrived to my house like an hour ago. Nice. For Thanksgiving. That Thanksgiving is when they're at their best.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. And people don't realize this, but oysters have a whole like seasonal thing because of their lifestyle. So when the water gets cold, they start to get they kind of go into hibernation winter, just like little tiny bears. So, and just like little tiny bears, they plump themselves up to survive that hibernation period. So things get cold in the fall, they start eating like crazy and fattening themselves up. So around like Thanksgiving through New Year's, they are at their like peak of deliciousness.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
A whole new world.
Wait, so why start off with oysters? I mean, like, is there some experiential science to that? Or why do you say that is the perfect opener?
Well, they don't really fill you up in any way. You know, like there's nothing. They're kind of like living salt water in a sense. So
yeah,
it's just like you get a quick hit of salty, oceany deliciousness and then they're gone. And so you're not ruining the 25 courses to come.
Right. Oh, man. Now I got to go.
But of course, you don't drink anything with your meal. So they're really salty. So I don't know. You kind of have to have.
I mean, I'll have something after, but I'm never going to be like, okay, first drink the liquor out of the shell, then have a sip, then eat the oyster. I'll have something after.
You got to have the liquor after. For sure. Yeah.
And Joelle, what about you? Is there perfect Thanksgiving food?
Yes. Uh-huh. I'm stealing my answer from Samin Nosrat, who said that cranberries, because they're the only acidity on the table and they cut through everything, is absolutely necessary. Like, if you don't have cranberry sauce, it's not Thanksgiving to me. And I'm a jellied can girl.
Yeah.
I like it real basic. My dad likes it because you can slice along the ridges. So it's like perfect portions of it. I love cranberry sauce. It's my favorite.
I was just saying yesterday, I can't do cranberry sauce. I just...
Why?
I just don't. There, I have a. My palate is not all. It's not attuned for that burst of cranberry on my Thanksgiving plate. I know why it's there, but I just prefer. I don't indulge. I like to keep it pretty straightforward.
Have you tried all the versions? There's so many versions. You tried the kind
I have.
We were
talking about
compote.
We were talking about. Yeah, I've tried. I always try. It's like candy corn. I'm like, this year is the year. And then I don't want this.
How could you talk about cranberries and candy corn in the same sentence? This is blasphemy.
I'm just saying it's like a thing that I always feel like this will be the year that I open up to. And then I realize I just need to accept that it might not be for me.
Okay, you know, that's it. That's your truth. It's wrong, but I understand it.
Okay, what about favorite dessert for Thanksgiving? Go. Joelle.
Oh, crap. Probably a chocolate pecan pie. Ideal for me. I don't like a pumpkin pie. I need my gourds cooked in breads.
Yeah.
Or roasted, like fire roasted, where they're like almost caramelized.
Right.
But a chocolate pecan pie, especially if you can get one from like a South Carolina, Georgia, Texas area. Forget about it. It's sensational. Actually, Connecticut has really good one too.
Listen, I'm glad you brought up chocolate. Because Roman, my man, Obsessions, Wild Chocolate is your podcast. And this chocolate is something I love to eat. And every time I see it like harvested, I'm like, that's fucking chocolate. Like how that turned to chocolate. Can you tell us a little bit about like your podcast and like, you know, just give us a little bit of an education like you did on red wine and oysters?
So you're right. So chocolate is made from the seeds of this tree that grows in the tropics called a cacao tree. And you open up these pods and it's just, it looks like this white, slimy, maggoty pulp. And you're like, that's definitely not chocolate. Right. So it has to go through this whole process where they scoop out the pulp and the seeds and ferment it.
Oh, it has to be fermented?
Yeah, it has to be fermented or it never tastes like chocolate. So okay. And that's part that sometimes gets skipped in like crappy chocolate. But anyway, so they do that and then you dry it and then you have to roast it. And then it starts to look almost like almonds, like these brown beans. And then those get ground and mixed with sugar to make chocolate.
Man, okay. So I had no idea it had to be fermented. Note to self.
Yeah.
That's why I'll never be able to make it.
And it smells almost like chocolate wine when it's fermenting. Like you walk through an area where it's all being heaped up and fermented and it's like, it feels alcoholic almost.
Oof, okay. I like that. Like what, you know, what is it about chocolate that makes it, it's like one of these like coveted things throughout history, you know, and even now, like it's one of Joelle's favorite desserts, like certainly my favorite kind of ice cream. And if anything has chocolate, I'm like, yes, that. And like oysters, I guess people say it's an aphrodisiac, but I don't know if that's what the science is behind that. But what is it like, you know, like, why is it so powerful in your estimation? Like in looking at how people like fight over it. And it's like this just gigantic industry.
And that's one thing that we keep trying to explore in the podcast is why do people go crazy for this stuff? Why do they go to such great lengths for it? And part of it is it's actually a pretty good recreational substance. It's got a bunch of different psychoactive compounds in it. So they're not going to hit you over the head like ayahuasca or anything.
Right.
But it's got a lot of compounds in it that make you feel good, you know, that get the dopamine going. So, and that's why, you know, the Maya, the Aztec, chocolate was like the heart of their rituals, like all their ceremonies. They always did it as a drink, like basically like a hot chocolate, a really thick hot chocolate. And that was like their thing that they worshipped with because it made you feel really good. So it's got some cannabinoids in it. It's got some things that sort of get your heart going a little bit. But then it's got other stuff that just, you know, science-wise, no one really knows why, but you come away feeling like pretty good about the universe.
No, you know? I'm sure anybody who likes chocolate can think of a time they had a chocolate that they tried for the first time that was so good. And like you get a wave fucking washes over you. I don't know if I'm being hyperbolic, but sometimes I have that sensation, like something really rich, like chocolate. I'm like, I feel like I'm going to hyperspace on the Millennium Falcon and shit. Like lines go, and I'm like, oh.
Me too. Me too. I had no idea. In fact, I can't do it late at night or like I'm in hyperspace and not sleeping, you know?
Oh, luckily I don't have that issue. I could drink espresso in bed and I'll be fine. But it's just not a good idea to just eat chocolate in bed. Anyway, my wife doesn't like that. But Joelle, when I saw your face going in all kinds of places when he was talking about all the psychoactive chemicals, I'm like,
I believe it. Like my mom growing up, she loved it, like a Dove chocolate. So she would like have them in the kitchen, little things. And then they were like perfect little bite size, like pick me ups, you know?
Right.
I think every major celebration in my life has had some form of chocolate nearby it, you know, whether it's like a birthday cake or, you know, an ice cream after like an epic fail. I don't know. I think chocolate, especially as an American, I'm not sure like globally what it's like, but as an American, there's always some chocolate nearby if you need to pick me up or if you need to celebrate or if you need a random gift to hand off because you're seeing somebody randomly. Like it's available to us at all times in every ways. And I'm grateful for it.
Right. And that even like to your point, Rowan, it feels like that's like it's weird that even a box of chocolate, like people are like, thank you for this gift. You know what I mean? Because any other like sweet, like quote unquote candy, someone might be a little bit like, oh, this doesn't quite rise to the occasion. But chocolate, like we still like we hold it like it's still sacred on some level.
Especially if you get like one of the fancy boxes. Not to be this person, but I'm gonna name drop a little bit. Zooey Deschanel, when we launched her podcast, sent us chocolates. And I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of cute. But then I had them and I was like, oh, this is Zooey Deschanel level chocolates.
Like, yeah, I can eat three of these a year.
Wow. Next level.
You do notice that, totally. With like the really good stuff, the next level stuff, it's like you get more of that hit, like that slightly drug-like hit. But it's not too much drug-like. Mm-mm. That's what's so good about it, you know? Like a little chocolate mid-morning and it's just like a perfect pick-me-up.
Wait, okay, so explain this, because there's levels to everything. And like, Rowan, I know you just said, oh yeah, the good stuff. What are, like, I know, like, your latest episode is talking about, like big chocolate, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and...
Yeah, the bad guys. What? Those are the bad guys.
Yeah, so first off, what's the difference between, like, a regular chocolate that we're like, oh yeah, that's good, and one that, like, you're like, this is the, this, like, what are the absolute heights of chocolate-dom that I'm not aware of, or, like, I'm want to be aware of?
Yeah. So it kind of goes back to that, partly to that fermentation thing. So chocolate, it's a huge industry. It's like a $100 billion industry, 5 million tons of cacao grown every year, mostly in Africa. And there's some real issues with forced labor there. Like, there's a lot of child labor involved. And the chocolate companies have had, for like 20 years, people have been after them saying, y'all got to figure this out, you know?
Right.
And the prices they pay are really low. And that's why there ends up being this like child labor, because the farmers in Africa end up using children because they're being paid so little for their cacao. And they also aren't paid enough to like treat to like do all these quality steps that they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
But the chocolate companies, the big chocolate companies, they haven't really gone out of their way to try to fix that, because they want to keep the prices low. Would be that they don't say that, but it seems pretty clear. But then, so chocolate originated in the Amazon in the Americas, and there's still like these old varieties there that have amazing flavor, usually just grown in these like tiny farms in Latin America that have kind of been forgotten about by the industry. And that, and they are often going to all these steps to ferment it really well, to draw out those amazing flavors and those drug-like effects.
Mm-hmm.
More expensive, but, and they're also not using slave labor.
Right.
So there's a shift now. There's a, like, people are really pushing to like try to embrace these more equitable, more sustainable forms of chocolate production that are coming from the Americas, and also to have that happen more in West Africa as well.
Right.
So that's the difference.
It's funny. Every industry is always like, yeah, and the conditions are so bad for the workers because of cost cutting measures. And you're like,
totally. It's like exactly what it is in chocolate.
If you know, farmers in like West Africa were paying workers an equitable wage, how much do you think chocolate would actually cost? Like, what kind of a, like, what's the cost thing, the savings that the, like, big chocolate companies are so, like, being like, oh, man, it's the difference between a $5 and a fucking $60 thing. Or, like, what, how much of a difference is that?
It's the difference between, like, a $2 Hershey bar and a $3 Hershey bar. And, yeah, like, so the governments in, like, Ivory Coast and Ghana have, like, they just put a premium on their chocolate, right? Their cacao. They're like, all right, we're going to charge you an extra $400 a ton so that all the farmers can have a livable wage. And Hershey immediately like went around that and bought like, I forget, 30,000 tons of cacao on the futures market at a lower price to get around having to pay that like livable wage premium. So the big guys have been trying to avoid higher prices at all costs, and they won't be able to for long. But yeah, it's not that much different. It's like,
yeah,
everything would be a little more expensive.
That's so wild. And fucking Hershey, huh? I mean, it's like, it's again, it's one of these things too. You always see about like fair trade. There's always, like, every year there's a new fair trade thing, you know, because our consciousness is now realizing, oh yeah, like we got to look at our coffee, like harvesting practices. And you look at this harvesting practice. And now with chocolate, is it like, so it is a burgeoning movement. Like, because I want to be able to now say, I want this kind of chocolate because my man Rowan just put me on. What's like the Rolls Royce of chocolates that we can put some of our listeners onto for those who participate in the chocolate indulging experience?
All right. So the real Rolls Royce for me right now is a woman I focus on the podcast named Luisa Abram. She's a Brazilian woman. She quit culinary school like 10 years ago when she was in her mid-20s and decided she just wanted to make chocolate out of the wild cacao growing in the Amazon. So she's been partnering with these different indigenous groups in different parts of the Amazon to make a chocolate with each of their cacaos, and basically to funnel that money back into their community. It's a way of, because chocolate, it grows as an understory in the rainforest in the Amazon. Like, it's a little tree. So if you harvest the chocolate, you don't have to touch the forest. So you can sort of keep, it's a way of making money while keeping the forest alive. So she's partnering with these different groups in the Amazon to do that. And also each one of those cacaos has a totally different flavor to it.
Right.
So you can kind of like taste all these different flavors of the rainforest through your chocolates.
And wow. Those are properly fermented too, right?
And beautifully fermented. That's one thing she does. And I was with her. Like, you go to these areas, middle of nowhere, you know, you're like sleeping in a hammock and trying not to get eaten by a crocodile. And you're teaching these workshops about how to ferment the beans to make really good chocolate.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, see, now I'm armed with some good conversation for Thanksgiving.
Rowan, can you drop the name again for listeners?
Luisa Abram. LuisaAbram.
And she has an awesome Instagram accounts with amazing images of what she's doing. Oh, nice. That's a good place for everyone to start.
Okay, fantastic. I always like to meet people who've got like a level of expertise on something like this, because it's been very eye-opening. Rowan, thanks so much for that. And thanks again for stopping by the Daily Zeitgeist. Rowan, where can people find you and follow you and the podcast? Where can they find that?
Yeah, so me, I'm rowanjacobson.com, and you can actually find the podcast too there. But the podcast is Obsessions Wild Chocolate, and it's on iHeart, is the easiest place to find it, but it's on all the other platforms too.
Fantastic. And is there a tweet or any other work of social media that you've been enjoying or anything like that you want to shout out?
The Cultural Tutor on Twitter. I don't know if you've ever seen. I don't know who this person is, but it's like awesome little tweet threads about some random piece of culture that you've never heard of. And you always walk away like, wow, I knew nothing about that. And I learned something today.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. This account looks great. Okay.
Yeah.
Little lessons. I like that. It feels
little
like
lessons.
Like the inside of a history teacher's mind. And it's like, yeah, I guess I could tweet something every day. Here's another nugget. Yeah.
The inside of the cool history teacher. Like, yeah.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
One you're like, yeah, I like this guy's class.
Yeah. Like my history teacher, Mr. Willer, he said, I won't smoke pot with you guys when you graduate. But if it was made legal in California, I would do it with you. It's just a matter of legality.
Yeah.
Shout out to him.
This seems like he might be that guy. Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't doubt it. I would not doubt it. Joelle.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining me today. Where can people find you and follow you and support you and listen to you? And what's a tweet that you like?
Yeah. Y'all know me. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique. It's JoelleMoniqueE. I have access to all of the social medias, but predominantly I'm at Instagram and over on the Hive now.
Okay.
Some Hive things I've been enjoying. This is from Vita Ayala, really talented writer. They say, if Twitter was work, then I'm hoping Hive will be like a lobby at the bar con hotel where everyone who doesn't want to drink or smooze is meeting up to get milkshakes and hang out with their friends / meet new friends. You remember when social media was fun? That's Hive, y'all. That's Hive.
Okay. Wow.
Also, before I bounce, I just really, really want to encourage everyone to go give Steven Spielberg's new film a chance. It's called The Fablemans. It is a pseudo-documentary about his childhood. Imagine if a master director decided to take a look at their life with a Tony and Oscar-winning writer. It's amazing. And Michelle Williams, who won an Oscar for My Week with Marilyn a long time ago, stars in it as Steven's mom. And she is breathtaking. She's brilliant. It is such a good movie. It is heartwarming and devastating and inspiring, and then like all Spielberg movies, uplifting. It's delightful. Go see it. Make sure it makes money so people will continue to support films like this.
Yeah. Oh my, you said Tony award winning and referencing Tony Kushner, right?
I sure did.
Saw the pun there.
Yeah, I was in it.
Was there a tweet? No, just saying, just you like.
I gave y'all the good stuff from the Hive.
There you go. Just get in there now before it melts down. I think only two people run it. I feel like that's the one tweet I see over and over. It's like,
yeah,
it ain't ready for millions yet. But
it crashes frequently. But the times you can access it are beautiful. And if there's you can either buy songs for your page. They're $1.99 to help support the app. Or there's a website, which, of course, I don't know, but you can definitely Google it. Where if you're the kind of person who has $100+ to donate, they're basically taking like investor donations to hopefully, you know, enrich their structure and also bring in more staff soon, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Right.
So
okay.
We'll see. I like it. I want it to survive. It's been a lot of fun.
we need somewhere to yell at each other and tweet stuff like, do horses get bored? And shout out to everybody who replied to that thread, because I really was like, damn, sometimes I'd be feeling bad for a horse just standing there and shit. Anyway, some tweets that I like. Griffin Gulledge, at Griffin Gulledge, tweeted, no one is more prepared to lose their entire online social media identity than millennials who have lost their AIM, MySpace, Google Reader, Google Plus, and remember the early years of Facebook. We will only return more powerful, more annoying than before. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've been through this. We've been through this. Well, don't worry. We always know. We always find each other. We know where the after party is eventually. And then this one is from at Rejected Hannah. It's a video of like the press tour for Strange World with Jabuki and Mr. Gyllenhaal. And she tweeted, the silence. I would have killed myself on the spot. This is Jake Gyllenhaal wrapping up like this junket interview for Strange Worlds, flanked by his co-stars. And he thinks he's just killing it with this little quip here on the Strange World junket.
I think they're all very relatable. You know, this world we live in today is a pretty strange world too.
They let that one air dry.
The head turned to Jabuki like, please give me something.
Jabuki, he said, do not get me mixed up in this.
I'm known for my comedy. I can't laugh at just anything.
I think you can hear the producer be like, okie dokie, in the background. Let me just play it again. I want to make sure. Did you say okie dokie? Oh, Jabuki. Okay, someone's asking. Jabuki, here's a question for you.
That's amazing.
Oh, my God. You can find me at Miles of Gray, where there's at symbols. Just pick one. I'll probably be there eventually. And also find me and Jack on our basketball podcast. Miles and Jack got mad boosties. We also got that other podcast, 420 Day Fiancé, if you like to talk about 90 Day Fiancé. So check that out. You can find The Daily Zeitgeist at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. Got a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post the episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
Thank you, Joelle. Where you can check all that out, plus the song we write out on. The song we're going to write out today is from the new 070 Shake album. This track is called Cocoon, and this goes hard. If you don't know about 070 Shake, the Jersey native, I always got love for the Jersey artist. Just an amazing rapper and singer, and it's just a good track to check out. So this is Cocoon by 070 Shake. All right, cool. Well, you can find The Daily Zeitgeist on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll be back later to tell you what's trending, and then we'll see you then. All right, bye.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer-founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.